The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
This program contains explicit content and subject matter which may be unsuitable for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
Sex Out Loud is sponsored by Lilo, award-winning designers of the world's best pleasure objects.
Smart, sexy, kinky, fun.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud with your host, sex educator, author, and filmmaker, Tristan Taramino. It's sex-positive radio like you've never heard before. Tristan talks about sexuality from every angle with leading authors, experts, artists, and icons. From sex education and sexual politics to BDSM and non-monogamy, nothing is off limits. So get ready to open your mind and expand your horizons. This is Sex Out Loud. And now here's your host, Tristan Taramino.
Welcome to Sex Out Loud. Tonight, I am thrilled to be recording in front of a live studio audience at the Pleasure Chest in Los Angeles. Tonight, you're going to get sex tips, gift picks, and answers to all of your burning questions about sex. We have a star-studded lineup from the LA Sexorati, and I want to get right to it and introduce them. First up, we've got Sandra Doherty, who speaks, educates, hosts, podcasts, and pundits. Her sex-positive teaching methods include heavy doses of physical comedy, playful insight, and delightful factoids. Known the world over for her Nerdist Industries podcast, Sex Nerd Sandra, which has a loyal listenership and over 13 million downloads. She can be heard weekly in your ear holes and seen on TV, on Fusion TV and The Young Turks. Sex Nerd Sandra! Then we've got April Flores, who is a muse, model, and erotic performer. She is the first ever BBW to win two consecutive AVN awards for her groundbreaking work, and she is the reigning 2015 BBW Performer of the Year. She's also the host of her own radio show, Voluptuous Life, on Vivid Radio on Sirius XM. April! Orpheus Black is Southern California's leather master title holder. So this is like leather royalty, people. He's also a published author and erotic educator that specializes in hierarchical dynamics, non-monogamous relationships, and erotic meditation. This two-time body storytelling champion, who happens to be married to the current body storytelling champion. So they're like talking a lot in that house. Has been traveling around the country teaching his fun and lighthearted educational events for more than a decade, Orpheus Black. And last but not least, Connor Habib is an author. Ooh, he's got fans here. He's an author, a lecturer, and the vice president of the Adult Performer Advocacy Committee. He's probably the only person alive who has won awards for writing, teaching, and porn. I might want to challenge him on that. Connor Habib! Okay, Sandra, I want to start with you.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, here we go.
I'm here. Let's go.
All right.
I know that you love to incorporate humor into your sex education.
It's true.
Which I think is why it appeals to a lot of people. But I want to know why you think laughing and making jokes and being lighthearted is a really good tool to combat things more serious, like shame and guilt and some of this like anxiety that people are walking around with about sex.
Oh, man. Laughter is like a psychological back massage. Like, it releases so much tension. And so, I mean, if you have a sex class without laughter, you have a problem. You know, like, it's just you have to laugh to let it out. So I think combating such negativity with lightheartedness, it's the same techniques comics use to talk about really difficult stuff that makes us all feel much more open about it.
And so do you laugh a lot during sex?
You know, I'm in college. I did a lot. If I'm high, it might happen. But if something embarrassing happens, you know, when people are like, "Dear 17 Magazine, I was mortified." Yeah. Instead of being mortified, I'm just like, "Ha!" You know, and then you move on.
Yeah. You have to keep it light.
Keep it light.
Yeah.
Unless it's like scary and like fun, rawr.
Oh, and like dark and kinky.
Actually, no. The kinkier it is, though, the more I laugh. I just realized.
Really?
Yeah, because it's so ridiculous.
Okay, we're gonna have to get Orpheus's take on on ridiculous kink.
You need to change your kink perspective.
Yeah. Okay, Orpheus, so your focus is on leather, on BDSM, which are becoming more and more popular all the time. But as we see more mainstream coverage of kinky sex, what do you think they still get wrong?
Ooh, that BDSM is predominantly female tops and male bottoms, because what's depicted in the media is usually mistresses beating some guy in a leather mask with, you know, big furry chest, and she's crawling around or coming out of a box or something. But really, relationships in BDSM are based on real world relationships. You know, it's real partners doing real things, making real changes, and making real strides together. So I think that we don't get a chance to see enough real world relationships with a BDSM overtone to it.
And you've had a BDSM relationship with your wife for, I think, 2 decades.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yes.
And do you guys laugh a lot, or does someone get punished when you laugh?
My only rule is you'll get away with it if it's funny. If it's funny, you can get away with it.
Wait. But who judges if it's funny?
I do.
Spoken like a true dom.
So the definition of dominance is I decide what's funny.
Well, you know, to me, the irony of BDSM is who creates the choices. You know what I mean? Everybody wants to have options, you know, and I provide the options, right? So sure, you can make that comment if you want to, but it may get you whooped, it may not.
But everyone has choices.
Everybody has choices.
Okay. April, you work in the adult industry, and your work there, both in the industry and actually outside of the industry, is really a game changer. You're super sex positive, you're super body positive, and I think when most people see you, I know I think this, I think, okay, how can I get like 1/10 of that amount of confidence in bed?
Is that the question?
Yeah, that's the question. Like, what are you drinking? Like, what are you, like, you are like the reigning champion of all like BBW stars. And so there's like some fierceness there. And I think if we all like got a little bit of that fierceness, it would be good.
Thank you, Tristan. I think that what I say usually is that if you're already in bed with the other person, they find you attractive. Like, they know what you look like. So when people, like, even if you wear clothing or whatever you think might hide your body, like, people know what you look like. So if they're already wanting to fuck you, there's no reason to get in your head like, oh my God, turn the lights off, or my fat or my cellulite or whatever. Like, just appreciate that moment. Try to appreciate that connection and that time you have together. And it's maybe easier said than done, but I think if you practice it, even fake it. Like, when I first was starting to, you know, make the transition from being like self-conscious to confident, I faked a lot of it. And then there's just like, for me, there was a moment where it just clicked, like, okay, yeah, this is me. And confidence for a lot of people is way more sexy than any physical attribute.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Would you guys agree with that? Confidence.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, Connor, I like to think of you as the deep philosopher on the panel.
Is that like a way of saying I'm the sad song on the mixtape? Real shallow. Real quick. No, go ahead.
You're not the sad song. You're the song that sometimes doesn't make sense when you first hear it. But then you listen to it again, and it totally get it.
Got it.
Okay. You've been doing this blog series talking about sex radicals and philosophers who have influenced you, and then you wrapped the whole series up by talking about kind of the future of sex radicals and radical thinking around sexuality. And one of the things you said was, let sex teach you. Be its student.
Yeah.
Tell me more.
Okay, so, I mean, I think sex is a mystery, and so, like any mystery, like a real mystery, you can always learn more from it than you can about it. So it'll always be a few steps ahead of you, which is why we end up, like, desiring things and wanting things that are really fucking out of the blue. Like, where did that come from? Why am I imagining bunny ears right now while I'm masturbating? You know, like, that kind of stuff. Like, it's always sort of the horizon. You can never get to it. And so you just sort of let it lead you through and see what happens. Instead of trying to contain it, that's where we really get into trouble. So that's sort of what I mean. I also mean it in culture. It's like, we're really, like, as everybody here probably knows, maybe not in our culture in this room, but, like, screwed up about sex in our culture. And that's because, like, we think we know what it is, and we don't. It's really mysterious.
You see why he's the deep philosopher? Uh-uh. You're getting that now? You've totally got that?
I like that. That was good. I feel that hum.
Okay. Right. This seems like a good time to take a commercial break. So I want to tell you a few things. One thing I want to tell you is that I hope you will come see me and dozens of the country's leading sex experts, including sex nerd Sandra, at She Sexual Health Expo at the Hilton Universal City in Los Angeles, January 16th to 17th. Go to sexualhealthexpo.com for tickets. Use coupon code TristanT. Now, I know this is a departure for you people, because technically on any website in America, you can just put in Tristan and get a discount. And I've been, like, drilling that into my listeners' heads for years, basically. And now they give me this code, and it's Tristan T. I apologize. I hope you get it right. Tristan T. And that gets you 2-for-1 tickets to She. So that's a good deal. Okay. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to find out what kinds of presents everyone on the panel is going to be giving and what they want to be getting this holiday season. So stay with us. Hi, everyone. It's Tristan. Pleasure creates equality, but not all pleasure products are created equal. Lilo's best-selling luxury pleasure products are trusted by millions all over the world to bring powerful, premium pleasure into the bedroom in life-changing ways. For him, for her, for them, for couples, Lilo's beautiful pleasure objects have something for everyone. From the remote-controlled Tiani series to the Mona Wave, famous for its waving come-hither motion, you'll find a Lilo bestseller to cater to your tastes. Visit Lilo.com and browse their bestsellers category to see the most gorgeous and satisfying pleasure objects ever made. Or visit your nearest adult store for more information about Lilo's world-leading bestsellers.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
Streaming live, the leader in internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. My guests today are April Flores, sex nerd Sandra, Connor Habib, and Orpheus Black. And we are in front of a live studio audience at the Pleasure Chest in L.A. Okay, before we get into gifts, I have a question for everyone on the panel, and that is, you are stranded in an elevator with a complete stranger. The only way you can get out is to give them a sex tip that they can implement immediately with themselves or a partner. Now, okay, but I just want to clarify this because I know now I'm saying it. It sounds like you're going to have sex with a stranger. You don't have to have sex with a stranger, but like you have to give them a tip that they can really use, a practical real-world tip. What do you say? Connor.
Okay, that's easy. It's the sort of basic thing I tell everybody, which is that, like, and it's not anything to do. Like, it's not like how to give a perfect blowjob, don't forget the balls, that kind of stuff. Like, I don't.
But just to be clear.
But I do know how to give the perfect blowjob, if that's what you're asking.
That's
yes.
Right.
Okay. If anyone wants to test me afterwards, I'll just. And I mean.
Make that clear.
Anyone. No. What I always say, because it's like we have this like crazy idea that sex is supposed to be this like immersive, connective, blowing down the doors, knocking over the lamps from the nightstand experience. Most of the time we're thinking when we have sex, like, what do I need to get tomorrow from the grocery store? Or like, does this blowjob make me look bad? Or, you know, whatever. I've really blowjob obsessed today. So just say like, it's normal to think during sex. Like, it doesn't have to blow your thoughts away. Like, you're thinking. And when people get out of that experience and they're like, oh, well, that wasn't totally immersive and connective like every mainstream movie I've ever seen, they feel badly or they feel like some shame about it. So I tell people that all the time. That's normal. That's not weird. That's normal. So that's not the exact same kind of, like, you know, play with my tits in this way, which I wouldn't know how to give someone advice on that anyway, but... yeah.
Okay, I'll take that.
Oh,
I'll take that.
You'll get out of the elevator. That's acceptable? Okay.
Yeah, okay. April?
Well, in my scenario, we are leaving Trader Joe's. And is a very attractive guy there, and I'm open to having fun with him. And I had bought some coconut oil. And my tip for him is, like, it's great as a lubrication for hand jobs. Let me show you. And
okay, yeah. So you're going to take it to the next level.
Yeah.
You're going to have sex in the elevator to get out
from
of the Trader elevator.
Joe's, yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Can we just name that guy Orpheus?
Okay, Orpheus, apparently you're in the elevator too. I don't know if April's in there or she already got out. What are you going to do?
So just to be sure, so it's me and another person?
Yeah.
And I can't touch them? Is that what you said?
Well, apparently it's open to interpretation. I just didn't want you to feel pressure. You could just give them a piece of advice that they can walk out with and practice with their partner. But apparently April...
Practice with me in the...
No, yes, but that could be... yes.
Okay.
Just go ahead. I don't want to stop you.
All right. I'm going to say anoxia and orgasm is pretty much the biggest orgasm you can ever have.
Okay, explain.
So breath play?
Breath play. Yeah. Okay, explain more.
But basically, anoxia is when you cut off the blood to the brain. Mm-hmm. Okay, so when you're doing breath play, basically it gives this same endorphin rush, the same adrenaline rush, and it also releases dopamine. So in combination with an orgasm, that's right up there with the feeling of cocaine. Right?
Can't we just get cocaine?
So for you, anything. So I figure while they're masturbating, I'd stand behind them and choke them.
Okay.
And if the elevator starts getting a little, you start losing air? Maybe.
Yeah, no, but okay, but we're going to say that. You've got to follow that up just a little bit with like a tip.
Don't kill yourself accidentally?
You read my mind.
I'm doing it.
I know you're doing it and you're very experienced at it, but I want like listeners out in the world to be like, this sounds fun. I'm going to Trader Joe's tomorrow. And I don't want to get people in trouble
here. We're combining April Flores' fantasy.
Yes, and I just want people to be safe. So
okay.
okay. You've never done it before.
If you've never done it before, go out and get trained and become experienced. Really take some classes. Really do your research. And know that everything that you do has a consequence across the sexual spectrum. So that's why we always want to have safe sex. And safe sex, when it comes to BDSM, is having as much knowledge as humanly possible. Okay? And this is one of those extreme moments where if you don't have the type of expertise that maybe I have after 20 years of doing it, you might not want to do it. But it is literally my kink. And the other thing that I'm going to stress is you always do it with a friend. You never, ever, ever do breath play alone.
Yes. Yes. No.
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
Exactly. Alone, that ever. Ends badly. We know.
Always.
Yeah.
Or we could just have sex.
Okay. I think we have a question from the audience.
This is a question specifically for BDSM sex. How do we feel about playing without a safe word? That's not how I play, but I know that that's out there, and I just want to feel how the panel feels about playing without a safe word.
Okay, great question. Let's first define a safe word for people who don't know. A safe word is something that most all practitioners of BDSM learn and almost all of them use, and it's basically a word that you and your partner or partners pick before anything happens, before the scene begins, before the roles begin, before anything happens, you pick a word. And if you say that word while something's happening, everything comes to a stop. Now, often people don't use no or stop. They use a safe word that's a different word that they wouldn't utter normally in the process of having sex. Because sometimes people like to role play resistance and other kinds of edgy play where you say no and you say stop, but you don't really mean stop. So like my first safe word ever, I was 19, it was elephant. Because you're like never going to say elephant during, thank you. There's a whole backstory, but I won't tell you. Okay, so some people also do two safe words, like a universal safe word is red, meaning stop. And sometimes also people play with yellow, meaning don't stop altogether, but back off and slow it down. So I want to go to Leather Master here. That's his actual title, Southern California Leather Master 2015. Okay, I'm not making that up.
Okay, let me say this. This is a do as I say, not as I do kind of question. And the reason is because, A, I do this for a living, so I have to make fantasies happen a lot of times. But for the average person, the person that's trying to engage in their own bedroom, I would say don't do it. Right? There has to be some kind of control to say, even if you wanted to go, if something happens physically to where you can't, you know, you're having an asthma attack or your leg cramps up or something slid around your neck and maybe you're being choked, you really need to have a safety measure in place to where it's going to stop. But it doesn't have to be a safety word. It can be a safety gesture. It can be, you can drop a pencil or you can have something, something to happen that signals the other person. Right? What a lot of people are trying to say is they want to play in the zone where they can do absolutely whatever they want with impunity. Mm-hmm. And especially when you meet somebody for the first time, that should never happen. Right? You always have to reserve the right to say no at any point in time. And for me, stop, no, don't are the safe words. They're going to get everything to stop. I don't play with yellow or green because I look at it like if I was standing in front of a judge and you heard stop, no, and don't, and you kept going, you know, they're going to lock me up and go, I'm going to throw away the key. So for me, it's really important to have those three words. I don't play without stop, no, don't, ever.
Right? That's really interesting. I didn't know that about you, Orpheus.
Yeah. Stop, no, don't.
Does anyone else have a comment on safe words, no safe words?
As somebody who sometimes is like, no, don't, but do it. I'm like trying to be like, can I say, oh, no? Oh, no. And then would that be okay?
You know what? I would say something like mercy. You know what I mean? Mercy. It's a good one because it fits the theme. I also have, if you open and close your hands, I'll stop and check on you. Like, I'll come and find out if maybe we need to adjust the ropes or the ball gag is too deep. Something like that is happening, so we need to make sure it happens. But also, dominants need to have safe words. You know, there's times where I need to call the scene, I need to stop, and I need that person to understand. So to let them know that this is over and done, I'll say my safe word, which is mahalo. Right? Don't judge me. Don't judge me. So I'll use my safe word because I've been in positions where I didn't want to let down that person's expectations, but I was exceeding what I could physically do. You know, so I think everybody should play with safe words.
Yeah, I mean, I'm totally in agreement about that. I actually also like to incorporate safe words into my relationships. So this has happened on both sides of my partnership where someone's actually safe-worded in the middle of a fight, right? Like, this is getting, like, super out of hand, or this, like, isn't going in a productive way, and or someone's getting really worked up, and my partner will turn to me and be like, I'm safe-wording. So I think it's actually useful across the board.
That's awesome. Realized that I forgot my relationship safe word. I haven't used it in so long, I don't remember what it is.
Oh, no. I know. Mine's just safe word.
Oh.
Okay.
That means things. That either means things are going really well or really terrible.
So cynical on the end.
I'm just asking.
Oh my god.
He's the philosopher.
Oh, okay. Before we take another break, because we're almost on a break, I didn't.
Oh.
The elevator scenario.
Okay.
Sandra needs to tell us what she'll.
So whenever someone asks a sex, I mean, I don't know about you all, but when someone's just like, what's your favorite tip? I'm just like, oh, you know, it's like 20 million things go through my head. And so the first one that really crystallized for me was, if you need to put something in your throat, relax your butt. And if you need to put something in your butt, relax your throat.
Wow. I've never had either of those issues.
Okay, wow. No, this is really good. This is like a trick that my chiropractor does with me, right? Because I'm one of those people, I know this is shocking for anyone who knows me, when I go in to get like a treatment and get adjusted, I'm a little tense. Shocking, I know. So what she does is she starts doing all these things on my feet, and all of a sudden she goes, crack.
Huh?
Because it's like distracted me.
Well, okay.
See, it works as a distraction.
My therapist is like, because I have intense anxiety and panic issues.
Yeah.
So, and she's like, now find a spot in your body, even if it's a single cell that is not stressed out right now. And then I'll find it, and I'll be like on my ear or my calf or something. And then if you focus on it, I become not stressed anymore. So it's like somewhere in between those two things.
Yeah.
What?
But I've never heard that relax your throat and then your butt relaxes or vice versa.
It's like some kind of sphincter relationship thing. It's like the, you know, there's something I have. Yeah, you're the butt person.
I know. That's what I mean. I thought I knew everything. I never ever told anyone, like, relax your throat.
You know, okay. In a meditation sense, they're both connected as well.
Yes, that's true.
From an energetic standpoint, yes.
Well, they're not on the same. Well, it depends. They're not in the same chakra, though.
No. But when you relax your sphincter, okay, which is where your seat is of all power, you basically are opening up the channels for all your energy to start flowing, right? Mm-hmm. But basically what you do is your nose and your sphincter are connected, ironically. So, but you have to relax your throat, you have to relax your jaw, everything has to relax, including your sphincter, and it lets the energy flow.
Hmm. All right.
This is getting, we're going to a whole other level. This is really good. Okay, we got to take a break. When we come back, I promise, really, we're going to talk about toys and gifts for the holiday season. So stay with us, more with Sex Out Loud when we return.
Hi everyone, it's Tristan. Pleasure creates equality, but not all pleasure products are created equal. Lilo's best-selling luxury pleasure products are trusted by millions all over the world to bring powerful premium pleasure into the bedroom in life-changing ways. For him, for her, for them, for couples, Lilo's beautiful pleasure objects have something for everyone. From the remote-controlled Tiani series to the Mona Wave, famous for its waving come-hither motion, you'll find a Lilo bestseller to cater to your tastes. Visit Lilo.com and browse their bestsellers category to see the most gorgeous and satisfying pleasure objects ever made. Or visit your nearest adult store for more information about Lilo's world-leading bestsellers.
No fluff, no lies, just real women talking real sex.
I am so bruised on my girl bits.
Sex gets real.
Sex gets so real.
So real up in here.
A weekly podcast with Dawn.
I just masturbated.
And Dylan.
Let's talk about the elusive clit.
Check them out on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and at sexgetsreal.com.
Cock rings.
Cock rings.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud. My guests today are April Flores, woo! Sex Nerd Sandra, woo! Connor Habib, woo! Orpheus Black, woo! And we are at the Pleasure Chest in Los Angeles live. Hey, our studio audience has not yet celebrated this holiday we call Christmas. By the time you hear this, listeners, you will have, but don't worry. This deal that I'm going to give you is good now through the end of January. Use the coupon code HAPPY when you go to my website, puckerup.com, and you can get 30% off anything and everything in my store. Use the coupon code HAPPY and you will get that. And I want to note that the profits from the sale of the following movies of mine are going to be donated, 100% of the profits, to Sex Workers Outreach Project, or SWAP, The Expert Guide to Female Orgasms, The Expert Guide to Advanced Anal Sex, Rough Sex 2, and The Guide to Bondage for Couples, okay? Ooh, so, Now through the end of January, get porn, give money to a good cause. Win, win.
Make sure you
get
that Rough Sex 2 one.
I heard it's good.
Orpheus is in Rough Sex 2. Oh my God, and April's in Rough Sex 2. I didn't even know the tie-in. Okay, there's two people in that movie right here. Okay, Connor, I want to start with you, and I want to find out, because we are celebrating the holidays, some gifts that you picked out from here at the Pleasure Chest.
Okay.
Things that you would like to gift to other people. Tell us about them, and I'm gonna hold them up and be sort of Vanna White over here.
Okay.
So first you're going to tell me gifts you want to give.
Gifts I want to give. Okay, so get that stick thing.
Oh, this?
Yes.
I
don't know names of things. That is a spreader bar. So,
is this a spreader bar, everyone? Just Google that word, spreader bar.
This is a great gift for me to give to my boyfriend to tell him I want him to fuck me more. But I'm a pretty vanilla person. I like the basics done well, which is surprisingly difficult to find. But I do really like bondage, right? And so this is something I want to do more. So I would give that to my boyfriend. Now, I don't know who else. I mean, like,
this is like a gift for you, though, Connor. Can I just point that out?
Yeah, that's the best kind of gift. Hey, I got you a trip for me to Hawaii. Yeah. You're going to have a lot of time alone next month. I would get that. So are you asking me, would I give that to someone else?
Yeah, you're going to give it to your boyfriend.
Yes.
Is that what you're saying? Okay.
Exactly.
Okay,
it's actually a gift for him, if you think about it.
I'm not buying it. I'm not buying it at all. Okay. Connor, you also picked out these cuffs. Okay, so for someone who's not into kink, you just picked these cuffs.
You also picked out this taser. No, okay, but that is the other thing.
Okay, so these, I just want to describe these because there's a lot of different kind of leather cuffs at the Pleasure Chest. These are beautiful black leather, really high quality, and they have gold stitching and really gold interiors. So the flash that you see when you have these on
totally
is a little bit of gold. So tell me about that.
Well, I'm half Arab, so black gold is oil, so that's why I picked that up.
Black gold is also my porn name.
All right.
Oh!
Right on. So, no. Well, so I just like those because they were not like the standard just like pure black cuffs. Mm-hmm. I thought they were like a little fancy. I'm a little bit fancy, you know. So I like that. Yeah. Oh, I like that expression. That's good. So that's also for a bondage thing. Something else. These are all presents for me, but I didn't know I was supposed to be giving them to someone else. I thought I was supposed to be selfish, which is I also like to be bound and like watch people like fuck in the room while I'm like tied up. I think that's really
hot. Oh.
Yeah, so like basically forced to watch live pornography is like my favorite. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so I just want to be clear because is this like a coupon you get from a sex worker? Like, how do you get, is there a gift card for like Rent Boy? Like, what, how do you get that to be a present?
How do I get?
When there's other people involved.
Oh, how do I get to be tied up and watch other people?
Yeah.
Oh, I just ask. I mean, usually I will know one person. I won't just show up tied up at a stranger's door and go, could you please fuck your wife in front of me? Thank you, sir. No, I wouldn't. Well, I might do that now that I'm thinking about it, but I don't think I would do that. I think...
You're all about consent.
Yes,
I know, Connor.
Yes, exactly.
Thank you. Okay, the final thing that Connor picked out is this absolutely lovely jock strap, Connor. Tell me about this.
Okay, so that's very sporty, and since I'm gay, I have a complex about not being masculine enough to play sports, so I picked a sporty jock strap. But no, I like jock straps because they're easy access to the butt, frankly, so that's useful for me. But also, I've done a lot of like movies and performances and that sort of thing where you have to wear jock straps because they accentuate the curves of your ass. I don't know why women don't really wear jock straps, right?
Or is you this wear like strap a on harnesses.
Oh, yay. Got it. Okay, got
they
it.
The same exact
because
thing.
The accentuation of the ass is like a really special thing about the jockstrap.
Yeah, okay, so I've worn jockstrappy type underwear like around like cis hetero guys, and they're always a little like, oh, having a weird feeling about this one. So I'm just, that's my experience. I'm like,
they
never
just don't
mind.
Like women's sports? Is that what?
I think the associations, you know.
Yeah, no.
Like strap-ons, totally.
Oh, that's weird. Yeah, because it like reminds them of the, but that's actually the exact effect I think you want when you wear a jock strap.
I think it's
like
the,
a little unease, you know?
Right, oh, yeah.
That's the best.
Like haze me or something.
Yeah, yeah, right, exactly.
Out. Little shout out to someone in the audience. Okay, I think we've got another question.
Hi, how you doing? I'm Kendall, and the question that I had is, I know it's been a very decisive year as far as diversity in sex education this year, as well as it has been in the country. And with this panel being as diverse as it is, thank you, Tristan, for that. Yeah, thank you. The question that I have for each of you is, what do you think in 2016 would be the next big step you would like to see as far as creating a greater diversity in the world of sex education?
Ah, Kendall, the softball question.
Right.
so simple. Okay, who wants to start?
Oh, snap.
Sex nerd Sandra?
Well, I mean, in terms of curating guests for my show, I try to get more diversity on my show, and I think just... Honestly, for me, it's living in Hollywood and being kind of involved in different shoots and things is just encouraging visibility. And also helping, like a lot of people come to us for mentorship and stuff, and just really creating access for the young ones as they come from college and want to continue having an excuse to go to a lot of sex parties. Did I answer your question? I don't know. That was such a big question. My brain melted a little. So,
yeah, I can answer that. Yeah, I would like to see more old people porn because I think it's really hot. I mean, it's something in the gay community that we're really fortunate to have is like I can get laid till I'm like, you know, 80, you know, and I can like go out and meet people and all that. But that's something that's not available for everybody. And I find older men very attractive. And I also think people have sexual desire until they die, you know, and so that's something I like to see a little bit more of, is just a erosion of the ageism.
Yeah, Orpheus?
I think what I've really tried to do is go forward and talk to people about race issues as it pertains to BDSM, because there's a lot of race play where it's a kink, where we fetishize each other's race, and we do a lot of things, but it's not really fully fleshed out. So what we're really trying to do is have more conversations about race play, the term slave, this term master, how people can accept it or not accept it, or try and break down some of those walls regarding the verbiage. Honestly, when BDSM was really in its inception, it wasn't, people of color weren't thought about in that way. So when we were creating the verbiage, so it's really, really been an uphill battle trying to get people to discuss race-related issues as it pertains to BDSM and sexuality. So that's where I want to continue my treks.
Woo! Nice. April?
Well, I think for me, what I always have done in my career is to increase visibility for plus-size people, or women specifically, but that kind of encompasses everybody. And I just think it's important to show a wide variety of body sizes because we all look different. And I think that a fat woman is not considered sexual or sexy in mainstream media especially. So I think, you know, body diversity.
I'm going to take a shot, too. I'm going to just take a shot as the only white person on this panel. That was by design. I think that for white people who are working in and around the sex industry and the sex education field, we have to think of it and address it every single time we do anything. So if someone calls you and says, do you want to speak at this event? Or someone says, hey, do you want to contribute to this book? Or someone says, where are you going to hold your event? You've got to hold yourself accountable and say, what are the implications of this for people of color? And do I need to call some people of color and say, hey, what's up? And maybe I don't know like what the answer is here, right? I feel like white people, it's our job to just do this fucking work and to fuck up and to fuck up publicly and to apologize and then to keep doing the fucking work.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to say one more thing. So a little more challenging than just having sex with older people.
We were not judging you,
Connor. No, I also wanted to say that something about diversity that I'm really interested in is actually the erosion of sexual identity at all, because like as I get older, like the more guys I've had sex with, like the more I'm interested in having sex with women, and it's something that just shows up for me, but I have no training in, no understanding of, and I've heard from a lot of other, okay, thank you. Hail from the audience, thank you.
Hands are going up in the audience. There's one back there. There's one over there.
But I've also heard from a lot of other gay men, like that they've had feelings like that, but it's just sort of like shut down. And part of it is in response to assholes that think that will just sort of magically change through the Exodus Foundation or whatever. But I think actually like an erosion of preference in general. Like I want to become more detached from that. Like I want to be like, who cares if I know that I am going to like this? I bring the chemistry and the intimacy to the situation, and I make it. I'm not just waiting for it there for me to show up like I'm some spoiled kid. Like, I want to go there, and I'm going to make it. And so that's something that I'm really interested in, and that just sort of, like, blows all the sort of stuff out if we just say, I'm going to try to overcome preference and see what happens. Not just sexual preference, but preference for body types, preference for acts, all that kind of stuff. To basically investigate all our boundaries and try to, at once we can hold them and it's important to hold them, but at the same time investigate and try to dissolve them.
Yeah. Oh, that's good, Connor. That's good. That's really good. Okay, on that note, we're going to take another break, but when we come back, more Sex Out Loud.
Hi, everyone. It's Tristan. Pleasure creates equality, but not all pleasure products are created equal. Lilo's best-selling luxury pleasure products are trusted by millions all over the world to bring powerful premium pleasure into the bedroom in life-changing ways. For him, for her, for them, for couples, Lilo's beautiful pleasure objects have something for everyone. From the remote-controlled Tiani series to the Mona Wave, famous for its waving come-hither motion, you'll find a Lilo bestseller to cater to your tastes. Visit Lilo.com and browse their bestsellers category to see the most gorgeous and satisfying pleasure objects ever made. Or visit your nearest adult store for more information about Lilo's world-leading bestsellers.
Ready to take your sex life to the next level? Let Tristan Taramino's award-winning expert guide sex education series help. Each DVD is packed with honest information, explicit techniques, scorching sex scenes, authentic chemistry, and real female orgasms. Go to puckerup.com and use coupon code SEXOUTLOUD for 25% off your order.
No fluff, no lies, just real women talking real sex.
I am so bruised on my girl bits.
Sex gets real.
sex gets so real.
So real up in here.
A weekly podcast with Dawn.
I just masturbated.
And Dylan.
Let's talk about the elusive clit.
Check them out on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and at sexgetsreal.com.
Cock rings.
Cock rings.
Streaming live. The leader in internet talk radio. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned in to Sex Out Loud with your host, Tristan Taramino. We want to hear from you. If you have a question or comment, please send an email to Tristan@puckerup.com. That's Tristan@puckerup.com. Now back to the show.
Welcome back to Sex Out Loud, everyone. I am here at the Pleasure Chest in West Hollywood, California, live with my guests, Sex Nerd Sandra, April Flores, Orpheus Black, and Connor Habib. Listen, we are having a ton of fun here, and I don't want you to miss out. So I want you to know you didn't. You can actually go to pleasurechest.com and see all their amazing selection of toys, get great customer service, even visit one of their stores in Chicago, LA, New York. So shout out to Pleasure Chest for providing this space and this great crowd. We love you very much, Pleasure Chest. And I also want to give props to my sponsor, Lilo. Lilo provided many of the toys that we are giving away as super duper prizes for our audience members. And Lilo has come on as a full sponsor of Sex Out Loud. They are helping to keep the lights on, as it were. Makers of high quality sex toys, Lilo.com. Okay, who wants to go next with their, I think Sandra, do you want to go next with your gift picks?
Sure.
Okay.
Giving or getting?
Giving. First giving.
Mm-hmm. Okay. May I have that Mimi and maybe that butt toy right there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, I worked at the Pleasure Chest in Babeland for a number of years. I'm all up in toys business. Now, when giving gifts, because people have asked me a lot, and they still do, about what to give, if somebody wants to just give a vibrator, like whether it's a wedding or, you know, holidays, whatever, birthdays, I really like this flat massage stone-shaped vibrator from Juju. It's called the Mimi, and it's just really strong and really quiet, and you can sit on it.
It's on right now. It's so quiet.
It pulsates. I mean, it's hypoallergenic. It's like all the fancy stuff and rechargeable that a lot of the other toys are. But I like the intensity of it and the fact that because it's flat, it doesn't roll away. Really? And so, and because
it's you?
And because it's so, well, you know, if you're like, let's say you're pressing your body up against somebody's and then you have like a rounded toy that's vibrating and then it kind of starts
out?
Yeah, or it starts moving away. But flat, it's just, you know, it's like, I call it like a panini press between two people. Ooh. And so no matter what your body, you know, type is or what your genitals are like, it's just a nice, flat, vibrating, powerful toy.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's great for, especially if you don't know much about your friend's sex life, you can give it to them.
Ah, yes? Okay, so this is a good, I don't really know, but I want to give them a vibrator.
Yeah, like if I'm giving someone a blowjob, I can have them sit on it. I can put it on my cheek. I can put it on someone's vulva. I can stick it on, you know, on their butt and then disinfect it later. You know, stuff like that. So it's just an all around, just put it on all the stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Okay, and then, okay, so this is for prostate owners, and the Helix Sin is a silicone prostate massager that's hands-free. It doesn't vibrate. You just put it in your butt with some lube and stuff. Look up Tristan's work for more information about that. And then my favorite thing to tell people to do is just hump something, or your friend, and it'll just magically, through a lot of anatomy I don't have time to explain, it'll go like this, boop, 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 and that sound on a podcast equals, it's knocking at the door of your prostate and going, hey, I'm here. Hello. And then your prostate's like, ooh, that feels good, girl. Keep going. Or whatever. So basically, the Helix Sin gives people with prostates possibly amazing orgasms.
Yeah, and it's by an Eros.
And
it's sleek. And I mean, one of the things I think, when an Eros kind of got on the bandwagon and started making different toys, I like that they ventured away from white.
As
a toy color. And so I like this one because it's black and red. It's sexier. It makes me think more sexy. Okay, so those are things you're going to give this holiday season.
Yes.
What are you going to get?
Okay, so having like every sex toy ever, that just... Okay, so I have a lot of stuff. I mean, there are some things like April, I saw her grab the Hitachi rechargeable magic wand, which I also have my eye on, but I was like, oh, you already claimed it. I mean, what I'm holding here is a butt plug with a base that kind of anchors between the butt cheeks, which holds up an awesome, very perky, excited puppy dog tail. Who doesn't want to be a puppy?
I want to.
Raise your hand if you want to be, applaud if you want to be a puppy. Everyone's got a little puppy in their heart, you know what I'm saying? So anyway, I just feel like, also, this is literally squishy, large, this is a small, but it's humongous to me, but I feel like the ambitious person in me really is like, I could do it, you know?
This isn't that big.
You are lying to yourself. This is so big.
That's
to me.
It's more of a Cocker Spaniel than a Great Dane tail.
Yeah, I mean, it's like... A whippet, maybe, but
this is my final. Like, this is where I aim toward.
Oh,
but
great.
Then I'm
no,
like,
no, I'm not
where
judging.
I'm like, okay, tonight's the night. It's your birthday. Your like this is right. Relax your throat.
Relax your throat.
Okay, so this is the puppy dog tail
plug from Oxballs.
From Oxballs.
Also, Oxballs, they were on my show, and they gave me the.
They gave you this?
No. They gave me the one because they were out of these. The one where you can put it on a harness. So I just put it on my harness finally, and so I was running around my friend's house being like, I'm a dog! And then just jumping around, because it feels awesome when you're wearing it, because then you just want to like shake. That's great. Anyway, but it was ridiculous, and it was more like comedy, but like, I like to laugh, you know?
Yeah.
So, the end.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want that.
Okay.
And then, okay, I love sex expendables, right? We're in LA, and film people, they call, like, stuff that you have to throw away and get more of, expendables. And so, like, in the sex world, like, cellophane, if you want to, like, wrap someone up, you know, like, a little present, or condoms, that's an expendable. And for me, Black Dragon gloves are a great expendable because it can be a sensation, if you turn it inside out, it's a sensation play thing. It's great if you want to, like, have a really lubey oral sex situation, and you can just take off your gloves after and be like, no, let's do something different, and I'm not gross. And so I just love gloves. Also, it's great for cleaning your house because you feel sexy, and at the same time, you don't feel weird.
Okay, so this is these are nitrile gloves. So anyone who is sensitive or allergic to latex, and more, if you have multiple sex partners, you just really need to invest in non-latex barriers because you just never know who you're going to run into. So this is black nitrile gloves. They were pioneered in the tattoo and piercing world. And now we have them for sex because they're so much hotter than that pink color from the dentist.
Well, okay. I steal those, too.
You steal those?
Yeah, for fun.
Okay.
They leave you in there for a long time. You got to steal stuff.
Oh, my God.
Okay,
just the gloves.
Just the gloves.
But we are out of time. I got to tell you about all these people and thank. There's so many people to thank. So I'm going to go through this really, really, really fast. The person you just heard talking is Sandra Doherty, who is the host of Sex Nerd Sandra on the Nerdist Podcast Network, sexnerdsandra.com, and on Twitter at sexnerdsandra. Orpheus Black is Southern California's Leather Master title holder. Find out more at orpheusblack.tumblr.com and get connected to all his social media there. On Twitter, at Orpheus_Black. Writer, teacher, former porn star Connor Habib blogs at ConnorHabib.com and is at ConnorHabib on Twitter. April Flores is the host of Voluptuous Life, heard every Thursday, 1 to 2 p.m. Pacific Time on Vivid Radio, Sirius XM Channel 791. She is also in charge of the fabulous website FatGirlFantasies.com. And on Twitter, she's at the April Flores. I want to thank everyone who makes the show possible, executive producer Karen Dana, associate producer Raymond Johnson, today's producer in the field and tech master, Charlie Mead, segment producer and editor Colton, announcer Cooper Beckett, Matt, my engineer. Special thanks to everyone at the Pleasure Chest in West Hollywood, California, including my incredible studio audience! Tune in next week, same time, same place, for part two of this discussion. A hush has come over the crowd. In the meantime, talk about sex out loud.
that's a wrap on today's show. Go to voiceamerica.com to listen to this and other episodes on demand or as podcasts. And make sure you come back next Friday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific, for Sex Out Loud with Tristan Taramino on Voice America Variety.